Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we do want to thank you for choosing to spend the next half hour with us here on the Refresh Radio program, where we are going to be talking about the Word of God. Specifically, we are talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And part of that seeking, you know, this is just how my mind works, is like, okay, God, if you want me to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, what is it that you want me to seek? What does it look like from the Word of God's perspective? And so I start studying through the Word and seeing where the Bible admonishes to seek. And one of the things that we found was that we are supposed to be seeking, and this is a very now word, justice, seeking justice. And so we have been working through that. Last week we were talking about not only seeking justice, but things that prompt injustice, what gives birth to injustice. And so yesterday we were looking at how alcohol can create an atmosphere where injustice suddenly begins to manifest itself and makes a mockery of people, and we don't want that. So today we are going to be on Isaiah chapter 9. That is where we're going to go to. Isaiah chapter 9. And I was having a conversation with my wife here last week. And I had an early morning appointment. There was a window of opportunity. Had not gotten much sleep the night before. They gave me a time window, and so I was up before that window. And I sat in a chair, and it's my daughter's chair. She didn't have room for it when she got married. And so it sits right there by the front door. And I was so sleep-deprived that I actually fell asleep in that chair. And she said, "You fell asleep in that chair?" It's like twice. So if you happen to hear me misspeak, I think I told you about, I was listening to one of the programs and I meant to say the children of Egypt and I said the children of Israel. And so if you hear a word that comes out every once in a while, understand that sometimes there is not static-free communication between my brain and my mouth. And so if you have any one of those questions, I have a saying that I taught my kids and they passed it on when they became adults to some coworkers, and that is, pay attention to what I mean, not to what I say. So you listen with grace. I will do my best to speak with grace. But today we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read on down to verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's scandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire." Now listen to this. This is a messianic promise right here in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we're going to begin to look at this, but I'll just throw the main point out there as we're going through this, and that is this: there can be no justice that is separated from the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just Savior, he is Lord, he is King. And the promise that was made in Isaiah chapter 9, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, was this: justice happens when Jesus reigns. Justice happens when Jesus reigns. So let's begin going through verse number 6. This is a promise that is made when things are not looking all that great for the children of Judah. And it says, for unto us a child is born. Now, I want you to see the communal aspect of that. It is not just a child that is born to one. It is a child that is born to an entire people, an entire group of humanity. And so just as my wife and I looked at our kids, and we didn't say that those are her kids, those are my kids. They're our kids. We looked at them and we said, you know what? It's not just her responsibility, it's my responsibility. And so whenever that child is your responsibility, you say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I pay attention to that which has been born. Babies are born extremely vulnerable. They are born so that others will provide them safety, provide them nutrition, provide them shelter, provide them all of the things that are necessary. So when Jesus comes, it would be one thing if he came in as a conquering king, which he is going to come the next time in that manner. But this time, the prophecy says when he comes, he is coming as a baby. And you are going to need to be actively involved in this process. Too many people look at their relationship with God as if all of the responsibility is upon God and they don't have any role in the process at all. That's lazy. It's not biblical. It is not true. We have tremendous responsibility to partner with God's plan, with God's provision, for God's purpose, in God's timing. So, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. So, I want you to see that when you come to church, that the church service is not just the pastor's responsibility. It is not just the worship leader's responsibility. It is not just the board's responsibility or the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. When saints gather together, there needs to be an awareness that we are actively involved in the process. And so if you've come with a testimony, bring the testimony. If you have had a week of faith and victories, bring that faith. Utilize that faith for someone else. If you've come and God's given you revelation, share that revelation with whoever you get. Attending church is not a spectator sport. It is something where everybody is supposed to be involved in the process. So verse number 6 continues, and it says this, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Right? I think that many times Western civilization struggles to understand what a monarchy looks like. I'm not talking about a monarchy in a modern sense. I'm talking about a biblical monarchy. And in fact, in this case, it's a theocratic monarchy, which is something that just terrifies people. But it is not somebody sitting on the throne representing God. This theocratic monarchy is God sitting on the throne. And so right now everybody talks about, well, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And none of that is relevant when it comes to God's kingdom. You see, outside of God's kingdom is a kingdom of selfishness, of self-service. But inside God's kingdom, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. So there is an extreme cultural difference for the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. One is the kingdom of light, the other is the kingdom of darkness. The one is a kingdom of order, the other is a kingdom of chaos. The one is a kingdom of peace, the other is a kingdom of strife and discord. One is a kingdom of love, the other is a kingdom of hate. And so I don't care how many different ways the devil tries to define love, it is actually hate. The one is a kingdom of joy, the other is a kingdom of sorrow. And just because the sorrow hasn't kicked in yet doesn't mean that the sorrow is not going to come around sooner or later. So I want you to see, it says the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, as a person who has been around a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers through the years, a lot of young adults who think that they knew everything, including me when I was young, and now I look around and I see the things that I don't know. So I was recently in a store, and my wife had sent me there to buy something that was out of my area of expertise. I knew just enough about this area to, know if I had the right thing or the wrong thing, but I didn't know how to find the right thing. And turns out they don't make the right thing yet. And so I'm then faced with, okay, how do I get the right thing through a combination of things? The salesman had proposed something, and so I said, you know what? I don't have all of the data that I need, so let me go talk to my wife. And when I came back, they had already found the solution to what I needed. But I told the person, I said, look, I'm not completely illiterate in this, but I'm just barely literate. You wouldn't want me running that department because I don't know anything. Now, if you gave me some time in there, I would familiarize myself with things, and I would become much more knowledgeable about it as time goes by, and I'd be able to help people out. That's just who I am. That's the way I ran my business and stuff like that. But here, the government is the responsibility of God, and he's going to govern it according to the word of God. And that's not going to make a bunch of people who hate the word happy. It doesn't their hate does not invalidate the word. The word endures forever. It's a timeless word. It's an eternal word. It is a true word. And Jesus is going to govern in a righteous and true manner, and he is going to judge everything. So the government is his responsibility. Now, the thing that would terrify me, you know, here in the United States, you have to be, I believe it's at least 35 to be president of the United States. If you know, I've got that age range. But there's an age minimum to being the president. In biblical times, there were kids that their parents died, left them as king. One of them, I believe, was 12. The other one was 8 years old. I don't know an eight-year-old alive that I would want being governor. But here's the thing. Jesus was amazing people with his knowledge of the word by the time he was 12 years old. They were gathering around, listening to him speak and ask questions. He was beginning to challenge some of the traditions of men that didn't line up with the word. And then we don't hear too much about his ministry for the next 18 years. But please understand that God is not just looking to save you like a first responder and then let you go on and make a mess out of things again. He's saving you, delivering you, transforming you, governing you so that you don't be a victim for your entire life, but instead that you will be a victorious conqueror through all your life. That's really what Jesus wants to do. He wants you living in victory. He wants you living in such a way that you're going to actually be used by him to bring freedom to other people who are in captivity. So I was in a conversation with some people, and every time I shared something with them, they began to filter the message that I had for them. They began to filter that through their economics. And I told them, I said, look, I need you to understand that there's a different way of thinking. I'm not asking you for your finances. I'm asking you to begin to think a different way. And so I want you to start thinking not so much about the modern definition that man has brought to the concept of freedom, and that means that they're free to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and nobody can stop them, to the actual biblical concept of freedom, which says, I am freed from the bondages and the limitations that sin had brought upon my life that prevented me from serving and fulfilling God's purpose in my life. Now, because of Jesus, I am free to fulfill and that purpose, to live the way that God wants me to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable. Before, I didn't have the ability, and now I do have the ability. So the government will be upon his shoulder. That is a very, very important point for where we're going to go. We hear this text preached a lot at Christmas time. I'm going to just briefly touch on these names. His name will be called Wonderful. Now, I don't know what it is about my mouth, what it is about the way that I speak, but I'm just really not into giving the pat answers when people say, oh, how are you to do? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? You know, that conversation gets old. It gets boring to me. So a lot of times when people ask me, how are you doing today? I say, marvelous. And people are expecting to hear, I'm fine. I'm good. How are you doing? That's what they're expecting to. But then all of a sudden it registers, wait a minute, he didn't just say fine. He didn't just say good. He said something else. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I've had people stop, begin to process that, and then they begin to hear, and they said, did you say you were horrible? And I said, no, I'm marvelous. I'm marvelous. I want you to know God suffers from that same misunderstanding, if you will, where God is wonderful, but there are people who are predisposed to thinking that he is horrible, that he's abusive, that he's rigid. Do you realize that if God wanted us to go to an eternal hell, he wouldn't have had to do anything. He would have just had to have Jesus sit up on the throne, and when you died, the soul that sins shall die, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Bam. There would have been no problem. But God said, you know what? I want to have a reconciled relationship with humanity. And so the wonderful, magnificent, glorious aspect of his personality kicked in, because he's always the same. And it's time that we acknowledged that he is a God who is full of wonder. I hope that you never lose the wonder of the fact that God loves you. He is the counselor. He is the counselor. I've watched a lot of videos, and they say, you know, a counselor, what a counselor needs to do is they need to listen. They need to listen well. And so they do more listening than they do speaking. Well, I want you to know that you can talk to God. God knows everything that you're going through. He knows the thoughts. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows the circumstances. He knows every detail. And he's got the solution. So when it talks about he's the counselor, then you need to understand that he's looking to guide us into truth. He's not just working us through the moment. He's providing us the counselor. He is the mighty God. So the more birthdays that I have, the realization that I have that, you know, my skills, my muscles may not provide the same level of strength that they used to. I saw a person here back in the month of May, and every time I had seen them, I mean, they had been buff. They were a workout machine. And they were still very fit. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that they weren't as muscle bound as they used to be. Their body was beginning to show some of the birthdays that they've had. But even though our strength has limitations, God is not only the mighty God, he is the almighty God, and we have the privilege of functioning in his strength, in his might, in his power. When we walk in covenant with him, everything that belongs to him is bound up in our relationship with him. And we get to access that. We get to function in that strength. And so you get to see occasional manifestations of that through the word of God. One of my favorite is when Elijah tells King Ahab, look, there's a storm coming. The drought has been here for 3.5 years. When it begins to rain, there's nothing going to hold the soil in place. You need to get on your fastest horses. You need to get on your journey, because when I pray, God's going to answer. And when he answers, you don't want to be anywhere near this mountaintop here. And so the king takes off with his fastest horses. Elijah prays. The rain comes. Elijah tucks his cloak in his garment, and boom, off he runs, and he beats the king to the city. Why? Because Elijah was that fast? No, it was because of the mighty God that he served. Philip, in the book of Acts, finds himself running alongside the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And how does he do that? Is it because he's a sprinter? No, it's because of the might of God. I don't believe that Samson was, you know, Mr. Universe just, you know, a few thousand years before the Mr. Universe pageant. I think he functioned in the mighty power of God. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. And you and I need to appreciate that. He is the everlasting Father. This Sunday is Father's Day. I pray that you do not have the mindset, this is my day. Man, if this is you, this is my day. I get to rest. I get to do what I want. I pray instead you'll have the mindset, this is the Father's Day. And I'm going to make sure that I lead my family in honoring the Father, the everlasting Father. A year and a half ago, my mother passed away, a little over a year ago, and my dad is still with us. And I know that there are plenty of examples of fathers who have missed the mark horribly, been horrible examples of father, and many people project their earthly father's delinquencies, faults, onto the Heavenly Father, but that's not the reality. You know, I'm thankful my father is still alive. I'm thankful that we still talk on the phone pretty much every day, sometimes multiple times a day. But I will tell you, this Sunday, don't forget to spend time with the everlasting Father. You know, it might be unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, but you've got to understand that Jesus is God the Son, and he's coming to show us how to please God the Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. We're only going to get through verse number 6 today, but I will tell you this. A prince has a principality, his domain. And peace is not in the devil's domain. Peace is in God's domain. God is not looking for you just to have an absence of conflict in your life. He is looking for you to have wholeness and soundness in every area of your life. And that begins with a spiritual wholeness, a completeness, a peace between you and God. The Bible says that we were at enmity with God, but Jesus came and paid the price so that we could be at peace with him. I pray that you will live in the peace of God. Tomorrow we'll pick up here and we'll get more into the justice aspect. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Up and down.